Federal leaders like you know that modernizing IT requires updated technology and a culture shift. Stop reacting to change and start leading transformation. Visit BoozAllen.com/Federal News Radio.
After a year and a half of study, the White House rolls out plans for what it says would be the most ambitious restructuring in the federal government's history. Among a long list of changes, the plan would merge the Departments of Education and Labor, consolidate food safety programs within a new USDA agency, and restructure the Department of Health and Human Services, renaming it the Department of Health and Public Welfare. Robert Shea is a former Associate Director for Administration and Government Performance in the Office of Management and Budget. He's now a principal at Grant Thornton Public Sector. He joined me to share some initial impressions about the Trump administration's reorg proposal.
The reorganization proposals that the administration submitted or reported are incredibly ambitious. It looks like an inventory of things the Government Accountability Office and others have been inventorying for a long time. So, you know, if even a fraction of this got accomplished, that would mean a great deal to the organization of the federal government.
As you said, it's ambitious. It touches most federal agencies, with the exception of the biggest one, which I was going to ask you about in just a second. But what is the unifying theme that you see in this document, to the extent that there is one?
I don't see a mission-focused theme, except to the extent you want to be leaner, meaner, improve the efficiency, reduce overlap and duplication. I think it's really a management improvement theme.
And then to the question I just alluded to, the Defense Department is more or less completely omitted here, which is surprising considering that it is by far the largest government department, with the exception of moving the Army Corps of Engineers civil works functions out to DOT. DOT is mostly not addressed in this report. Should I be surprised by that, or is it just too big in and of itself to fold into a document like this?
That's a really good question. They also assume the background investigation function currently housed at OPM,
right,
which used to be at DOD. DOD is, in many cases, immune from a lot of the management improvement efforts that go on outside of government, mostly because of the juice, the authority they have on the Hill. I think there's plenty of reduction in overlap and duplication you could do at DOD. Maybe they're working on another report for them standalone.
Since you raised OPM, that was another interesting component of the reorganization. Aside from moving background investigations from OPM to DOD, the policy functions within OPM, as I understand it, would be moved into some new sub-organization of OMB. I'm just wondering how you think that would work out, and if the important functions OPM currently does might get lost in that structure.
Well, I think someone's going to have to take care of benefit administration. They're going to have to take care of the services OPM currently provides to agencies. But the policy function moving to OMB looks a lot like how we handle acquisition, finance, performance, information technology today. So it's not something that can't work. In fact, it makes it look like a lot of the other management functions we're currently operating today.
Just in terms of scale, I mean, the biggest part of the reorg would seem to be the merger of Department of Education and labor. How difficult is it to pull off a merger of two cabinet-level departments? I can't think of a good example of when we last did something at that scale.
It's really, really, really hard, and that's if you get the statutory authorization to do it. You've got to rationalize functions. You've got to combine internal management functions. You've got to deal with the physical plant of the organizations. You just can't overstate the complexity of a combination like that.
You mentioned earlier the difficulty that this is going to face on Capitol Hill, and I don't think there are many people that would disagree with you, but how much, if anything, can the administration do without Congress?
Not a lot. Most of the things proposed in the report would require statutory authorization, but even those that don't seem to be covered by restrictions in appropriations that limit the administration's ability to spend money on moving anything without explicit congressional authority. So I think the authority they have to do this stuff is extremely limited.
What would you expect the next legislative steps to be here? I mean, do you think it's likely, probable, that Congress will start to hold hearings on at least some of the topics addressed within this report? Are they going to take this seriously at all? What would you predict?
I predict folks aren't going to take this very seriously at all, only because they have a very limited time between now and the midterm elections. And I don't think you're going to see a Congress more amenable to this. In fact, they'll be probably closer to outright hostile to these kinds of moves after the midterms. So, you know, hopefully it'll get a hearing. And if there's a champion or two for one of the proposals, they could move. But I think these aren't likely to get a receptive audience, at least as far as moving legislation is concerned.
Well, now that the administration's top line ideas, or at least some more of them, are down on paper, maybe they resurrect themselves in the budget process next year after those midterms are done?
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, that would be good if they were part of a proposal. If the president actually proposed budgets that align to these new structures, that would be a waste of time, because until these moves are actually enshrined in law, appropriators are going to budget the same way they've been doing it for years.
Wonder if you have any views about the process leading up to this point. It was secretive is probably not the right word, but it was not done with, as far as I can tell, much of a public process. I don't know how much input they gathered from public and private stakeholders behind closed doors, but could they have, or should they have, done more to do some more of their work leading up to this document out in the open?
So there's been a lot of deliberation about proposals to reform government. So there's plenty of data, plenty of research to draw from.
Mm-hmm.
So coming up with the proposals probably didn't technically require a lot of collaboration, but to move from proposal to enactment, because these impact so many people, so many constituencies, if they haven't laid that groundwork through collaboration, they're just going to have enormous resistance. So I think that's a gap that will come back to haunt them as they try to get them enacted.